setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you make Mondays great again, Ken Coleman.
A warm welcome from Nashville. You are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. Welcome aboard. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. It's a safe place. I'm here to ask you questions about you, because the answers to those questions, who am I? What was I born to do? Well, where do I really want to be? What do I want to be doing? Where do I want to be doing it? And then the big giant question, how do I make that a reality? Those are all questions that can be answered, and many times the answers lie within you. We're here to help mine those answers for you. I got to tell you, walk into the studio today. I ran into a coworker, and I had a number two pencil, which is my favorite writing utensil, and I had it tucked behind my ear, which I do on occasion because that way I don't lose it. Now, many times I'm looking around for it, and then I remember it's behind my ear. Welcome to ADHD. And the person said to me, are you just wearing that? This person is a funny person. They know me well. This is kind of, the question was, you know, what's the deal with the pencil behind the ear? Is that just, you know, you're just doing that to look cool, or you actually use it? To which point I responded with like a mini rant. So here it is. I love number two pencils. I love pencils. My daughter is an 8-year-old. She loves to color many times. She has a whole box of color pencils. I like pencils. I would rather color with a color pencil than a crayon when I color with Josie. So I went off in the parking lot in a very positive way, folks. I said, I love pencils. You know why I love pencils? And now my coworker's kind of going, oh boy, I should have just left him alone. I said, we need to live in pencil. And now they're looking at me like I'm really weird. Some of you, now I've got your attention. Now I've got your attention. What in the world are you talking about? Let me tell you. The reason I love pencils, when I am doing calls, I'm making notes. When I'm listening to you folks, I'm writing with a pencil. When I plan the show, I write in pencil. When I plan a speech, I write in pencil. When I craft anything from scratch, taking notes in a meeting, whatever it is, it's in pencil. The number one reason is because when I go back and look at it, if I want to make changes, it's a much neater process. It's a lot easier. I erase and I edit. And folks, what I mean by we all need to live in pencil is the same reason I love writing in pencils. You need to love the idea of testing things and just trying. Try. The idea of living in pencil simply means you need to try more. Because in the process of trying, I'm not worried about it being in permanent ink. I know I'm going to edit this process, or I'm going to edit this product, or I'm going to edit the audition, or whatever it is. Business idea. New marketing slogan. The idea of living in pencil. We all need to embrace it. Because when we live in pencil, we're not worried about the results. We're actually looking forward to the editing process. We're not worried about it being something final that we have to present to the world and say, well, this is it. I got to mark it up now with a permanent ink, permanent marker. No. You erase and you edit. That's how you live a life on purpose. You just put it out there. You try it. And then you erase and you edit. I need a pencil sponsorship, because I think people all over America right now are going, give me a box of number two pencils. Why don't you try it in your meetings just so you get the concept? Now, my poor coworker finally figured it out. Not sure if they're glad they asked me or not, but I'm glad, because I'm telling you, erase and edit. If you embrace that in a life of intentionality, you're going to make so much more progress than you ever dreamed of. Try it. Just try something. If it doesn't work, erase it mentally, edit it, try it again. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go. People are standing by. Up next is Katie in Amelia, Ohio. Katie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. How are you?
Good.
Where is Amelia, Ohio?
It's east of Cincinnati.
Okay, very good. How far?
About 20, 25 minutes, so about 10, 15 miles.
All right, very good. So how can I help you today?
Well, I'm in a job these days that I found that I have no passion for, I have find no value in, and I just feel stuck.
All right, well, the good news about stuck is you got in there somehow, and the good news is we can get you out. So really excited to help you here. Let's start with some basic questions, which is, could you identify for me top two or three skills that you have?
I am a good writer.
Right.
I'm good at talking to people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm good at teaching.
Okay, good.
I will add, I do teach a college course once a week as well.
Oh, okay. Now, is that something that you're doing to make extra money?
It is.
How
yes.
much do you
and
love? How much do you love that role, that side hustle?
I love it. It's where I found my passion. It was my way of getting a way to use my actual background.
What subject are you teaching?
I teach in religious studies. So this currently I'm teaching spirituality and religion.
Okay. So what do you make right now? What do you make? And then what do you need to make?
Well, with the teaching, I make $1,428 a semester.
Okay. But I'm talking about your plus, so that's $1,400 a semester, but I'm talking about your current job. How much do you make?
Around 50 grand.
All right. Is that pretty darn comfortable for you, or would you like to make a little bit more?
It's pretty comfortable along with my husband's income as
right.
well.
All right. So the reason I ask that is because that gives you clarity on the threshold. So moving into
right.
teaching role, that's where you need to be. It's just mm-hmm. that simple. You love
right.
teaching. And so the question
yep.
becomes, what do you love teaching? And is it religious topics? Is it definitely teaching in a Christian environment, teaching on the Bible, things of that nature? Or are you open to teaching other things?
I do love teaching in religion and ethics.
Okay. So that would be number one on the list. What would be number two?
English, actually.
All right.
Language arts.
Okay, great. Is there a number three? While we're getting some momentum, is there a number three?
Politics, actually.
All right. And you laughed a little bit. Why'd you giggle at the end of that answer?
It's such a heated topic. And yet, you know, when I was in my undergrad, one of my favorite gen ed classes was my political science class I had to take.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is so fun, Katie. Now we have a lot of clarity. So we need to figure out, how do you move from the role you're in, which you don't like anything about that job, and how do you teach full-time, making $50,000 or more? It's that simple. Did I miss anything on that?
I don't think so.
All right. So the question becomes, are you qualified to go full-time? I would think you are. If you're teaching one college course, you could move into full-time from a qualification standpoint, correct?
Yes. I would have to branch out from the current school that I'm teaching in, but...
Sure.
Yes.
How many universities, just ballpark, are within a 30-mile radius of you?
3 to 4.
Okay. And I can tell you right now, you know this, online degrees is exploding. I mean, it's like
oh, yes.
big business. So that's
mm-hmm.
another opportunity for you as yes. you're beginning to transition, because I'm guessing you're going to need a plan, right? You can't just leave tomorrow from this $50,000 job. You're going to have to make a plan and make the strategic leap. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So then walk away practical stuff. When you hang up the phone, you are needing to think through, what are the schools? We know there's at least three. And then we need to think about, can you pick up another course or two in the current environment that you're teaching in? And then what are online activities? And so that is your plan. And you start thinking about applying and looking for right roles in areas that you want to teach. So we know religious studies, we know English, and we know politics. You got the qualifications. So it's just a function of how quickly can you, Katie, replace the $50,000 plus that you're making in your current role. And when you can replace that, jump. Just jump. And maybe you and your husband get together, you make some sacrifices in other areas of your budget, and you juice that emergency fund, or if you've already got the emergency fund in good place, then put some more in there, and maybe it's a separate fund, and it's for floating Katie as she moves over. and get where you're supposed to get, because you're going to love what you're doing, and a great professor is extremely valuable. So I'm really excited about what is in store for you. So you've got a plan, and now I want to see you go do it, and I want to hear back from you.
Okay.
All right. Are you fired up?
Yes, I am.
I cannot wait to hear from you. So go, plan, and then launch. Can't wait to hear more. Folks, that is why we do the Ken Coleman Show right there, to help the Katies of this world just get some clarity and then confidence. Did you hear the difference in the tone of her voice? She's got confidence. She knows it's attainable. Now, we don't know how long it's going to take, but she knows what to do. She heard about our show because she's a Dave Ramsey Show listener. So she knows the baby steps to get her financial house in order. She and her husband, they're already working. So now it is just a function of them getting on the same page and doing what they need to do so that she can chase this thing, and she will replace that income. You watch. And folks, it's important to point out, when you are in the process of trying to replace one job to do a job that you really love, I love that she had already started teaching another course. That was extra side hustle, and that was her passion gig. She loves it. I think it is what has kept her alive, professionally speaking, in a role where she just only likes the people. That really illustrates why we are doing this show. Why 70% of Americans don't like their job. They're not engaged. The side hustle sometimes keeps you afloat. And the side hustle, by the way, can fast forward the leap. What if Katie adds a couple of online courses and she goes from $1,400 a semester and she doubles that? Bingo. The plan advances quicker. The side hustle is not just about extra money. Many times the side hustle is simply about rekindling your passion. Good stuff. 844-747-2577. We go to Memphis, Tennessee, where Steven is on the line. Steven, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
Just fine.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I can smell the barbecue through the microphone. I think the aura is just coming through, man. I got to get to Memphis and get me some barbecue.
Come on, anytime you want.
Oh, I like that. I'll hold you to that. All right, how can I help you today, man?
Well, I have got a passion for marketing, but I lost a job in marketing about 2 years ago when my company filed for bankruptcy. And so I've been jumping job to job, unable to get back to a marketing job. And I'm wondering, and could use some advice on, if all that job searching, part-time jobs, not jobs I'm passionate about, are hurting my career search trying to get back to a marketing job.
Well, do you think it's hurting? Is it hurting your time and investing in the necessary work to be able to find the full-time gig? Are those part-time gigs just so time-consuming that it's hurting your ability to search and discover?
There is a lot of that, but taking care of my family has to be my top priority.
Of course. So. Yeah, and I admire that. So right now, you're in a financial position where once the full-time marketing job went away, you just had to scramble.
Yeah, we had actually just discovered budgeting and trying to get out of debt and stuff. So we were on the right path, and then that kind of hit us out of left field, and we've been scrambling ever since.
How long have you been scrambling?
I lost that job in November of 2015.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're not scrambling. You've just fallen into a rut. But even at 2015, that's a pretty long time. And how many part-time jobs have you been carrying over that time?
Oh, at one time, my maximum's three.
Okay, how many are you doing right now?
Two. I did get a full time, but it's something I'm just there working. I'm a body. My brain's not really, I'm not passionate about it. It's not something I want to do for the rest of my life, and then I'm slinging Domino's pizza.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I didn't have that information. So you have a full time job right now?
Yes. And go ahead.
Well, I just want to know where you're at right now so we can help you get out of there. What are you doing right now?
I'm a back-of-the-house supervisor at a big chain, big box toy store.
Okay. And then you're delivering pizzas for a little extra cash.
Yes, sir.
All right. Are you able to put money away? Are you saving money? Are you back on the Dave Ramsey plan?
We would be. We just found out we're having a kid. So we've put the debt snowball on hold, and we're racking it. We're saving as much cash as we can right now.
All right. So you're putting some money away for the baby. You've got your $1,000 emergency fund, which is baby step one?
Yes, sir.
Well, we know you love marketing, and so that's the great news. We don't have to do a bunch of discovery and figuring out what it is you love to do. That's the great news, and you need to be encouraged by that. So now it is just a simple function, Stephen, of prioritizing. You got to prioritize your money. You have to prioritize your time. That is where you stand. You've got to start looking, and there are all types of moments in the day. You got to be a good steward of your current job. That's a full-time job. We're grateful for that. But you've got to spend some time every week, whether it's getting up early or staying up a little bit later or changing your habits at home. I don't know if you're watching any TV or not, but maybe the TV needs to just go dormant for a while. And you begin to discover and look for marketing roles that you are qualified for. And then these are companies that are doing things that you're excited about. Their values line up with you, because marketing is about telling a story and telling a story that you can get excited about. So finding companies that do that should be pretty darn easy in your area, because again, you want to market a product, a service, a company that you agree with their values and you believe in the product or service. Am I missing something? You're a marketer. Am I missing something when it comes to marketing?
No, you nail on the head.
All right. So I don't think that the Domino's job and the big box warehouse manager job is eating up too much of your life, even with a baby coming, for you to be finding a marketing role that you're qualified for and that you're a little bit excited about. And you need to be applying like crazy. Beyond applying, you need to be talking to everybody in your circle and then their friends and their families about marketing opportunities. You just need to be gazelle intense with the job search, just like you have been on the finances. When Dave tells you to be gazelle intense, that's not just a financial play. That is in my career, in my family life, gazelle intensity towards the goals that are set before you. So at this point, Stephen, it's a simple play for you. What are some great marketing opportunities that are out there? Companies are hiring. And if you have to do some part-time work a little bit longer to save up a little bit more for you to be able to maybe make that jump to a lateral move financially just to get in the door as a marketer, knowing that, hey, I've got what it takes and I'm going to show so much value that eventually I can grow with a company. So you've got the full-time gig now. That's great. And now you're looking, how can I move laterally or vertically within a marketing role? And it's been, 2 years. It's time to get really serious about it. How much does it matter to you that you do work that you were designed to do? Answer that question in the wee hours of the night. Sometimes it's good just to lay there in the bed and stare at the ceiling. Get really quiet so that that inner voice of passion and of self-worth begins to resurface. Because you can have kids. I had 3 kids while I was pursuing the dream job. There's nothing holding you back. Baby's coming. I like that you're saving for it, but you need to get back on the Dave Ramsey plan. The baby steps work over and over and over again. Finish them out. Pay off that debt. Boost that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months expenses minimum. And you can do that in a marketing job. If you're in a big box warehouse that you're just, honestly, you're just evaporating day after day, your spirit just evaporates. That's part of the problem. It can suck the energy out of you. This stuff is real, folks. If you feel like you're not making a difference during the day and you walk home and then you see the kids for a little bit and you got to go out and sling pizzas, it takes away your motivation. This is a real thing, so don't feel bad about it, but know that you are facing a real hurdle. You need to get gazelle intense. Just like Dave Ramsey says, for your money, you need to figure out a couple of steps. And I just laid them out for you. It's just simple discovery and then hustle to get some opportunities for interviews to get you back in the game. Thanks for the call, Stephen. 844-747-2577. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show on SiriusXM Triumph, Channel 132. Up next is Mike in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mike, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. How can I help today?
So I have an interesting situation. Basically, I have been a CPA for the past 13 years, and I'm wondering the wisdom of stepping back from being in public accounting while I build my practice and stepping into a role as a CPA recruiter with a firm that helps other larger CPA firms get talent, retain talent, just to add some balance to my life, but also to just see what some of the bigger guys are doing.
Okay. So let me ask a couple clarifying questions. I heard what you said, but the wisdom is, should you do this as a side gig, or are you saying just change careers altogether and move into this recruiting side of things?
So what I'm looking to do is I want to open up my own financial services practice where I would be doing, you know, taxes and financial advising. And basically to be able to do that, what I was thinking about doing was changing my day job to not have the demands on my schedule that my public accounting career demands on it now.
Okay.
And basically build my practice on the side, but having this recruiting job during the day to keep my salary so that, as Dave says, you know, get the boat a little closer to the dock before I make the jump.
Yeah, great advice from Dave. And I think there's great wisdom in what you're doing. I love that you've already thought this thing through. I think you're a model for people who are listening in, you know, going, all right, I have an idea what I want to do, and how can I get there safely? And I love the idea of you taking the recruiting job. And is it recruiting other CPAs? Is that right?
Yeah, so somebody would call me and say, hey, I need a CPA to work on this project, or I need a controller, and I would, you know, match them up with people that would be in my network.
Well, you're qualified, being a CPA for 13 years, so that makes sense. Do you have an actual lead on this, or are you still in concepting?
So I'm actually, somebody reached out to me on Monday and asked me if I'd be interested in talking about this opportunity, and I just happened to be listening to your first podcast, and I was like, this seems like something it would be good to talk to you about.
Yeah, I love this idea. Absolutely yes is the answer. Have the conversation and get clarity on what that role would look like, and then how much is it paid? Do you have that information yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I it's definitely wise to look into this. There is zero negative on this. I don't see any negative to you looking into this. So let's hope that, you know, you're certainly, I got to believe you're qualified in what to look for. Your experience is going to come in handy. And if this recruiting role is something that you can enjoy doing during the day, meaning it's not going to suck the life out of you, and it pays you close to or more than what you're making now, I like the idea of jumping to that. And then you just build that business on the side. And then the transition plan is, okay, how long is it going to take me to replace this recruiting job, if that's what you get? And once you replace that income with your own business, then that's the next jump. So I like how you're thinking. You've got two jumps that you're thinking through. Understand that if this conversation doesn't go anywhere, meaning it doesn't pay enough, is probably my biggest concern, then you still stay in this mindset, which is, what can I do with my skill set that I enjoy doing, but gives me a little bit more time on my hands so that I can build my CPA business on the side. Same thought process, just more discovery.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the way you're thinking. That is absolutely the way that this happens. And I will encourage you on something. If this recruiting role doesn't materialize, don't be discouraged. Mm-hmm. Don't be discouraged.
Okay.
Just find another scenario, because your scenario that you've created in your head is spot on. So I really like where you're going. That's the move. And I know you're going to get there. So just keep on trucking towards this and keep me posted. Keep me posted on your progress, because I want this show to be about progress, not just answers from Ken and next steps from Ken. I want to see and hear of you folks walking this out, because that's what inspires us all. So stay in touch, because I really like where your head's at. Good stuff. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hey, folks, I love what Mike did. Mike called after he had gotten an opportunity floated his way and wanted some clarity on that. But let me tell you something. There is great momentum that is created sometimes that you don't even see for a while. When something new comes your way and you don't dismiss it, you just say, I'll listen to that. I really believe that anytime a new opportunity comes your way, even if it is extremely vague, always listen. There is nothing wrong with listening to an opportunity and then run it through your filter. But listen first. Don't cancel it out as, well, that just doesn't make sense. Listen to it. And Mike went a step further. He hasn't listened yet. He's got that coming. And so that's first step. I agree to listen. But he actually started thinking forward with this. Now, we have no idea if this opportunity is going to truly materialize and if it will be the right opportunity. Remember, every opportunity is not the right opportunity. But boy, oh boy, when you put yourself in a position to listen to opportunities, it does something for you. I believe it awakens you. And he began to think through this. Wait a second. I'm an accountant, I'm a CPA, so I know what works and what doesn't work. I know what qualifications someone really needs. So if I go to work for a recruiting firm, I'm not going to be slammed day to day as I am right now. Certainly during tax season, think about how intense it is for a CPA during tax season. Well, wait a second. What if I can make the same amount of money, or maybe more, or maybe a little less, but close to what I make now, and I can then devote some time to launching, in a small way, the business that I truly want to start anyway. The forward thinking right there is a great exercise, because I didn't hear anything negative out of Mike's mouth. All I heard was, this could allow me to do this. Ooh, what a great posture. What a great phrase. Get in the habit of saying that. Try to say that this week. This could allow me to do this. Start filling in the blanks. Where I said this, you fill in the blank. That is so important. Not just to listen to an opportunity or a potential opportunity, but allow your brain to think forward. What could this opportunity, if it materializes, do for me to move me forward? Really great mindset. I think it allows you to look holistically at any potential or realistic opportunity. Good stuff, Mike. I can't wait to hear from him. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if he makes that move? He goes laterally in some ways, but in my mind, he's going forward. He's going vertical. He's climbing up the ladder by what looks like a lateral move to everybody else. He's climbing up the ladder. Really good stuff. Up next is Sydney in Auburn, Alabama. Sydney, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good. How about you?
I am doing well. How can I help you today?
Well, I was wanting to see if you could just help me. I need some direction. I wanted to see if you could help me find my where my passion and talent intersects,
right,
and to kind of give me some ideas and guidance for a career path or business.
All right. Well, let's start with that. Give me your top two or three skills.
Okay. I don't mind asking why. I don't mind challenging a process and want to know why. I can negotiate a lot of technology contracts and things like that in my current job. I can also listen to lots of information and kind of condense it down into understandable terms, fact scenarios, things like that.
Okay, that's good. When you can take complexity and break it down to simplicity, that's very valuable. That's a great skill. Let's talk about passion. Things that you, when you're working and you're performing this function, it really makes you come alive.
Well, I like to encourage people, push people to do their best, teach someone how to do something new. I like to learn new technologies. I like to work in kind of business strategy. I can a lot of times see how objectives should come together and how things should come together to achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
I like real estate, any kind of outdoor activities. I like working on new projects that really are meaningful for the company.
What do you do now?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay. Anything about being a lawyer that you enjoy?
I work in advertising and branding. I do enjoy that.
Explain that to me. You threw me for a minute. How does a lawyer work in advertising and branding? You mean you represent advertising and branding companies?
No, I work with our marketing department. I review the ads. I also do the trademarks where I go out to the patent and trademark office and get the trademarks and also research those to see if anyone else is using certain trademarks like that and say whether we can or can't use those.
Mm-hmm.
I also negotiate software contracts. I work some in governmental affairs and read bills, analyze bills. I work in compliance.
But you call me today because you're not getting a lot of joy out of what you just described.
No. I work in insurance, and a lot of it now is just, it's a lot of paperwork,
mm-hmm.
filings. There's really no, I mean, it's all...
yeah, you're stuck.
I don't like busy work.
Yeah, you're stuck in a bunch of processes, and it's just one thing to the next thing, and you're dotting I's and crossing T's, and it's driving you bananas. Am I right?
Yes. I'd rather be creative.
There we go. Okay. So here's what you told me. You told me your top talents were negotiation, looking at complexity and turning that into simplicity. Then you went into passion. And by the way, some of these passions are also, I'm guessing, some of your top talents, because there's a lot of marriage between things that we love to do. We're usually good at things we love to do. And so when I hear learning and teaching and strategy, and you're a lawyer, at some point you chose, we don't need to go into why you chose to be a lawyer, but the teaching thing sticks out to me. And all I can do in this short amount of time we have together is get your brain in the right place. And I think your brain needs to be thinking, I love the process of learning. You said that. And see, learners are great teachers. Because I think if a teacher is going to be committed to their craft, they have to be continually learning new facts, learning new techniques and how to teach. So the learning teaching thing jumped out at me. I think you got to do some more discovery in that specific area. I also think the strategy thing is the challenge for you. The strategy to me that you mentioned, that you enjoy strategy, that ties into the complexity to simplicity. What's our strategy to take a complex problem and come up with a solution? I see a real direct tie there. And so walking through this over the next days, weeks, and months, I think you need to begin to write some sentences out that have some blanks. And it starts out like, I want to use my talent of blank to do blank. And just start filling that in and don't get hung up and analyze it. Write it several times a day. Plug in different answers. Because the teaching and the strategy, the complexity to simplicity, the negotiation, here's what I love to tell people about the sweet spot, which, by the way, if you haven't heard me explain this, the sweet spot is where we use our great talent or great skills, our top skills, to do work that we absolutely love.
Yeah.
So you love to teach, you love strategy. I think it's just using your ability, if I had to start with a sentence, I would start with, I'm going to use my ability to solve complex problems, okay, to provide strategic advice or to come up with strategies for this type of business or this type of organization. Because lawyers are worth a lot. You've got a law degree. You've got a lot of experience. Getting someone's attention for you in this next career move is not going to be difficult. So all you have to worry about right now, and I use worry loosely, you don't have to worry about anything. You're there. You know what you need to do. Now it's just, what is it that I want to do? I need to discover this. So I think that's the path for you, is starting with, you know, your abilities to see simplicity, a solution in a complex problem, and then creating a strategy. Because, see, that's creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That's creativity. And you said, I love to be creative. So I'm spitting everything you've said to me back to you. Now you've got to go do the work and start filling in that little simple sentence, fill in those blanks. But if, and again, I don't have all day with you, right? But I think it's your creativity and your problem solving and now using that to create strategies. Now, who do you want to create strategies for?
I guess maybe other companies, potentially other businesses.
Right. You just fill in the blank. You don't even have to answer that for me right now. That will come.
Mm-hmm.
Really get comfortable with that role. Now, I'm okay with this because I think I've just spit everything back to you. But is what I'm saying, is it landing with you? I'm not looking for the compliment. I'm making sure you agree with what you have said. Does that sound right to you? A role where you are solving complex problems by creating great strategies. Is that close to a sentence that you go, now that I could dig every day?
Yes, right. It is.
Good. Good. Then I think it is now, what are the organizations that are doing work that really fires me up? I see results. So if I'm solving problems for this company, woo, I'm really helping people in an area that I get fired up about. It's now values. You know what your passions are. What are you, how do your values align with this work? That's all you've got to figure out. It's discovery, discovery, discovery. Start doing research. Start writing those sentences every day. And when you get to a sentence that you go, that's it. And by the way, you won't have to say, that's it. It will just feel right and jump off the page.
Okay.
All right, my man, I appreciate the call. Folks, you can join in on the conversation as well. 844-747-2577. There's no place like home, folks. That's how I feel. That's how my wife feels. I'm sure you feel the same way. There's just something about walking in your home at the end of a day, end of a week, just hanging out on the weekend. You breathe a little easier. It's home. One of the reasons we breathe easier at the Coleman household are my friends at FilterBuy. I got to tell you, I love this service. It's changed my life. My wife is so thrilled with me. Changing the filters on time. And see, this isn't just about changing the filters to make Stacy happy. This is about my kids breathing easier. All three of the kiddos are being treated for allergies. So this is not just saving money on my monthly HVAC costs or long-term HVAC costs. It's saving money on doctor bills. And here's the best part. Custom filters, whatever size you need, they'll ship them free, FilterBuy will, within 24 hours direct from the factory. You get 5% off if you sign up for auto delivery. That's what I do. I just set my date and don't even worry about it. So make your life better today. Go to FilterBuy.com. That's FilterBuy.com.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day.
How many of you feel stuck to the point where you just need some type of a break? Sometimes it's a change of location, and you just need something to do that would be a lot of fun and fire you up. So we've got some good news. Been telling you about this. If this is new to you, you need to enter to win. We've got a great giveaway happening at DaveRamsey.com right now. We're offering a chance to win an all-expense-paid two-day, two-night trip to Boston, Massachusetts for you and a guest. Now, that includes travel, dining, and an exclusive tour of one of my favorite historical cities in America, Boston. On top of that, you're going to get two VIP tickets to our most exciting and powerful event of the year. That's the Smart Conference, an all-day event. And then we're going to schedule a one-on-one personalized coaching session where you and I will talk through some of the big questions you have about your career, your passion, your talent. You're confused, you're stuck, just have no clue. Well, that's what we're going to do in the coaching session. And all you've got to do to enter to win is go to DaveRamsey.com. You can enter once a day, every day until December 15th for your chance to win. So go, DaveRamsey.com. Hope to see you soon in Boston. Up next, Ashley is on the line in Monroe, Louisiana. Ashley, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. How can I help?
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of at a point where I don't really know how to move forward in my career. I feel like I've been in the same job for going on 13 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very, very technical, very niche job, and I haven't been able to figure out how to move myself forward to do something outside of the industry that I'm in currently.
Okay. Well, first, tell me, what industry are you in, and what do you do?
I'm in telecommunications. I work for, I do a government regulations, like we do a lot of filing of preparation and filing of contracts for a telecommunications company.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe yourself now? Are you stuck in this role wanting to move up there, or you want to get completely out of this? Tell me what your status is.
Currently, I would actually like to move on to something else. I've been in actually the same role the entire time I've been with the company,
mm-hmm.
and just I've had some upward movement, but it's in the same exact department and same role.
How much do you love your work? If one is I hate it, 10 is I love it. And I'm talking about the work you're doing on a day-to-day basis. How much do you love it?
I I'd have to say probably about a five.
A five. And I'm assuming you're pretty good at it, right? Because you've had some promotions, you've moved up, and you stayed there over a decade. Is that correct? You're pretty good at what you do?
Right.
All right. So I like to walk people through just a simple exercise, simple questions that get right to the point. What is it that you would say is your top talent? Of all the things you do well, if there were one or two that you do better than anything else, what would you say they are?
Probably my proofreading. I'm very good at taking documents that may be several hundred pages and going through and making sure that everything's correct, everything's covered, and I actually do enjoy that part.
Okay, and what else? Give me something else that would you say besides proofreading?
It would be the research. It reminds me of puzzles, and I love looking back at history and figuring out exactly what went wrong and how to fix it and how to fit it in and move forward.
Okay. I love that answer because, folks, I want you to listen into this. There's always a really close tie between your great talent and your great passion because we just don't like to do things we're terrible at. You love the puzzle pieces. That's very interesting to me. And you said that in answer to what is another one of your top talents. Of all the things you love doing, when you're engaged in an activity that brings you great joy, what would you say that is? Or give me a couple. Things that when you're doing it, now you just said you love puzzles, so give me something else. Like when you are in the act of performing this function, it gives you great joy.
Actually, it's if a legal question or something that involves a one-on-one, like I'm going in and I'm responsible for finding things that have been lost.
As I'm asking you these questions, I'm seeing a pattern of task-oriented. You enjoy tasks where you're responsible to go dive deep. You love the puzzle side of things, putting things together, planning, things of that nature. What we then have to figure out is what type of work or how much does the actual corporation, your company, how much does that play into where you want to be? Does it matter to you, or do you want to be working for an organization where what they're doing, whether it's the service or goods they provide, is on mission with who you are? How much does that matter to you?
That matters a lot. I've, over the last probably year or two, I've kind of started thinking that I don't feel like we're going the same direction, like myself and what I value and the company that I work for. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking for, I love helping. I think it's part of the research is I love when someone is clueless or someone needs something. I love being a person that can come in and put it together and help them plan it and figure out and solve the problem.
Okay. What's your current financial status? How much freedom do you have when it relates to looking for something else? Are you stuck financially as well, where you have to do a little bit more preparation, or could you jump to something else pretty quickly?
I actually feel like I'm pretty much stuck at this point because of where we live. We're in a smaller town, and we're actually in our baby step two. And that's been one of my problems is where I work, since I've been there for so long, the income I make is higher than most jobs in my area.
Okay.
And I feel like I can't take a pay cut at this point where we're trying to plow through baby step two to move on.
I get it. Well, when you're trying to get your financial house in order, we don't want you to take a financial cut to go pursue something that may make you a little happier during the work hours. We want you to take good care of your financial house. However, what I want you to do is get absolute certainty on, is there anything better in my local area? Now, I get it that you're in a small town, but I don't want you to limit yourself to just your small town. Are you willing to look at a 90-mile radius? Is that an option for some people? Absolutely not. They don't want to drive 90 minutes each day. So that would cut that out. So if you are truly trapped in your town, meaning that you can't get a job anywhere else but in your locale, then that changes your reality. But those are things that you need to systematically walk through. So here's my financial reality. Here's what I need to make. Is that possible to make? And once you have the answers to that, then you've got a real snapshot of what you're facing. And if the answers, Ashley, are there really isn't a job that fits the description of something that I'm really passionate about and I'm able to use my talents in that pays me what I need to make, then you're going to have to bite that lip for a little while and sacrifice. And sometimes that is a reality. So if that's your situation, that sounds like that's the case. I want you to get real clarity on that. Are you 100% sure that you can't find an equal paying or better paying job in your area doing what you love with what you're good at?
I can't say I'm 100% sure. I'm probably about 60%.
Okay.
I've tried and what I've been offered is a significant pay cut.
Sure, I understand.
But then that kind of leads to the I'll stick with it and hope something changes or whatnot. But then I feel like I don't want to be complacent.
I get it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get that other 40% of clarity. Here's why. If it comes back and your current reality is that there's not a job that is available that meets the criteria that we've been discussing, then I want you to be thinking about what can I do in my extra personal time? You know, so there are many times in life when passion can be fulfilled, not necessarily occupationally or vocationally, but as a volunteer. And so I would think about that, because if you can, there's something missing for you.
See, I think it's seeing the actual person that I'm helping, just knowing that I help this person or I help this group.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, my work is more of a part of a small part of a larger picture.
You feel like you're doing your job and you know it's making a difference within the walls, but you're not sure it's making a difference outside of the walls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I do think that in this interim period of discovery, because that's what you need to be doing. You need to really discover what is available and then begin to try to map what's next. So once we know what's available and what's not, then I want you to, it's almost like putting out an atlas, and you begin to say, okay, if I want to begin to do this type of work in this type of place that produces this type of result, what's that going to have to look like? But I also want you to try to find some opportunities outside of the workplace to use your gifts, like research, proofreading. You just named a couple of those at the top of your list. But there's a theme there in what you do well, project managing, numbers, you know, things of that nature that maybe you have some giftedness with. How do you use that to help people? And what I think you'll see is that you can revive that spirit that you desire to make a difference. You desire to have meaning every day in the work that you do. And I think you can do that outside of the four walls in your job, even if it's limited each week by the amount of extra time you have in your life with everything else going on. I think it will begin to feed that muscle and it'll keep you afloat, if you will, until you can make that move.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I'll look into that. Never really thought about doing something outside of work.
You've got a couple action items. You ready for this? You ready to write these down, Ashley? Here's your action items. You need to find out if there are any opportunities at all that would be jobs or organizations that meet the requirements that we just walked through. Jobs where you can use your talent to do something you care deeply about, right? Or organizations that do things, you go, oh, boy, I love the values of this organization. I love what this organization is doing. I'd love to be a part of this team. And when you can start there, then let's get clarity if there is any opportunity in your locale. Then I want you to say, what can I be doing with my talent and passion? How can I use my talent to perform my passion and make a little extra money? And so that would be research opportunities, proofreading, all sorts of things. I would look at what's available online. Get yourself in that pool, and you just never know how that leads to so many things. Hey, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to people about their realities. And as you heard, you know, Ashley had just not walked through what is available to me. And that's not unlike many of us. Because what happens is when we sense that we're stuck, we get so focused on being stuck. Just the other day, my son Ty, an 11-year-old, was doing a mud run at a middle school function at our church. And so there comes a point where it's literally the deep mud that Ty's got to go through. And I remember the counselors were standing there as all these middle schoolers ran up on this big old mud pit, and they said, military crawl through there. And Ty, along with a few others, didn't really hear. And what happens? He runs in with both feet and he got stuck. And I remember looking at him. I'm videoing this and I'm having a little fun with it because he's not in danger. But he's literally stuck. And what Ty did in that moment is what many of you are doing, and it's what Ashley's been doing. Because you're stuck, and that is your reality, what happens when we're stuck? So Ty was completely focused around the circumference of his body, right? I saw him. He was looking all around his body, and he's struggling while he's looking. But he's not looking up. He's not looking to somebody to say, hey, can I get a hand out? Can you pull me out? He's not looking left or right, up or down to say, how can I best get out of this situation? What happens when we're stuck is the initial focus, it's just real, it's just human. We look and we see our circumstance and we're just stuck. And it's like, oh, and all the emotions that come with being stuck. So what I did with Ashley there, and you heard the light bulb come on. We don't know if there is several gigs in her local area where she can perform her passion with her talent. But what we do know is that she was very clear on a couple of her top talents. And she has some financial limitations. She can't just take a lower paying job. That's not her reality. And that's the case with many of you. But what you can do is begin to feed that appetite to do work that matters. How do you do that? I know several years ago I lost a bunch of weight, Joe. And you know how I did it? Trainer said to me, I want you eating 6 small meals a day. He was creating an appetite that would be fueled by metabolism. So when somebody calls in like this, like Ashley, she's got some realities that she can't just go to the buffet. She's got to take, right, some little steps at a time, little bites. And there's something about the soul. We all want to matter. We want to do work that matters. Ashley said, I just feel like I'm just working for a corporation and there's no benefit. I can't see human beings on the other end of my efforts. That's real. But when I told her, hey, why don't you get online, see if you can start doing some side work, some contract work on research, some proofreading, get into some editing. And oh, by the way, people will pay you for that. Here's what's going to happen if she does that. She's going to begin to feed the appetite of the soul, and that appetite's going to grow. And see, the appetite is what drives us. It gets that metabolism going. They all work together. And so she's going to go, hey, I love this. I just did a research project. I nailed it. I finished it ahead of time, and I got paid for it. And I put that money towards a debt, or I put it towards something that I needed to get, or I put it in savings, or I splurged. All of this has a cyclical reaction. And so what happens is, little by little, she begins to take steps towards doing work that she loves. All right, folks, we close every show with a quote and a question. Today's quote comes to you from Francis of Assisi. He said, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. Now that, folks, is so powerfully true. Some of you right now need to be completely focused on the necessary. Don't even be thinking about the impossible. So today's question, where you're at right now to do what you need to do, what is necessary? Focus on that first. What is necessary? Our time is almost up. But before I let you go, you matter and you've got what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.